Recording Taiwan special number 3 of the week. Today should be December 27, if I'm not mistaken. Congress is supposed to be back voting on stuff today. I said I'd get to Huawei. Okay, Huawei. What is Huawei? Huawei is the second largest smartphone manufacturer in the world. The largest being Samsung. Number 3 being Apple. Now, I could say a lot of wonderful stuff about Samsung. They actually own Node.js, which is just growing. Samsung has an Ubuntu app on their phones, which, you know, if you're using Linux for anything, if you're a developer, if you're an Ubuntu user, I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if you could just pull out your smartphone? Wouldn't it be awesome if you could pull out your iPhone or your Windows phone, whatever? I mean, Linux... Android is built on Linux. Ubuntu is built on Linux. Ubuntu is the number one desktop distribution of Linux and the favorite for small web servers in the world. Wouldn't it be great if you could pull out your iPhone and tap on an icon and there is an Apple desktop running OS X? Wouldn't that be awesome if on your iOS iPhone there was an icon to run OS X? Bluetooth, a keyboard, plug it into a monitor, and your iPhone becomes a Mac Mini or whatever. You remember those little tiny Mac things? Little tiny. Wouldn't that be? It's not true. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if your Nokia Windows phone had an icon on it called 10, and you tapped on it, and it started running full blown desktop Windows 10, and you plug, you know, you Bluetooth a keyboard, you Bluetooth and a mouse, you plug it into a monitor, and there you are, full running desktop. Or you can do the tap on keyboard and run the thing on your phone too. But wouldn't that be cool? Well, Samsung has that. That it has an app that runs Ubuntu desktop. So you can use your Ubuntu desktop for your code developing and whatever. You got Ubuntu in your pocket. The desktop computing with all the stuff is in your pocket. So this is, Samsung has done this. And this is brilliant. They own Node.js, which has just taken over the world for writing apps in your phone, apps on your desktop, designing websites and stuff. And it's good reasons why it's growing. It should be growing. It's good. I'm studying it myself. I haven't started classes yet, but I've got to finish some other projects first. But I purchased it. I purchased the Node classes, and I'm going to be learning. I'm enrolled, man. Node is the thing. Samsung's doing that. That's number one. So if you want to get a phone, get a Samsung. Look, Apple does some really great stuff. They're very stable, very, very stable. But, the Apple stuff isn't open. It's very closed and very proprietary and very, very much, I want to consume and be a user and not have any clue what I'm using, but I want to enjoy something nice while someone does all the work for me. That's what Apple is. It's not for people that want to know what they're doing. It's not for the Tony Starks who want to build the suit that they're flying. It's not for people that want to really understand what's under the hood. It's not for drivers that want to know how to change the oil in their own cars. It's not for drivers that want to know how to fill up their own gas tanks. Unless it's like push the fill up button, I suppose you could have. But what if you had a push the fill up? You went to the gas station, you pushed the fill up button, and the gas thing automatically came out and plugged into your, you know, instead of you having to pull out to get. No, seriously. iPhone users don't even know how to put in the gas plug into their phones. No, they don't. No, they don't. The cable is much easier. Look, you're allowed to smoke a cigarette and light candles when you plug in your iPhone. You're not allowed to do that when you put gas in your car. You've got to be careful with stuff. There are laws regulating how you fill up your car with gas, not how you plug in your iPhone, how you plug in your iPhone. All right. Okay. So now that I've established that Apple, you know, Apple's a great product for people that don't have a clue what they're doing. That's wonderful. But it's closed, and I say go Samsung. Because it's open, more people can be contributing to it. And that means more people making it great. So, that's Apple. And that's Samsung. All right. Apple's got a lot of greatness. I'm just biased, okay? I'm just biased. If you got your little iPhone, fine. They make great videos. Like, really. And they can edit some stuff. All right. Between Samsung and Apple is Huawei, this Chinese tech giant. It's worth billions. And now we're finding that this executive that got arrested in Canada has ties to Mao Zedong, to Mao Zedong. Her father worked closely with Mao Zedong. Or something like that. Excuse me. She's got rich friends in, shall we call it high or low places, whatever. They're extreme places. And they've been trying to do their 5G network. It's like 100 times faster than fiber optic or something like that. Like it's like 5G is obnoxiously fast. And they're trying to get their state spy on everybody. It's contract. It's the law. Their state-controlled internet to be the backbone of the world's internet. Are you joking? And now she's been arrested for something, violating some international law or whatever about supplying tech to Iran or something. Why didn't she even think that she could get arrested while she was in Canada? Okay, this is what I got to tell you about today. China is a country without rules. Rules to them are just these silly things that we guys, we idiots in the West, make up for ourselves. China deserves, in their opinion, the Chinese, they deserve it. So whatever they do is right by definition. What is morally right? Well, it's whatever China does. That's how they see it. They really believe that rules and contracts and agreements are just a joke for us silly people who think that that silly stuff and that morality, whatever, actually matters. You know, you just do whatever you want. You could say manage the measure. That was Protagoras, the sophist. But, you've got Thrasymachus, might is right. Homo mensura, man is the measure. That's Protagoras. You have Gorgias, all statements are lies, so just be persuasive. You have classic sophism running China. And China is the measure. It's not man is the measure. China is the measure of the existence of things that are not of the existence of things which are and the non-existence of things which are not. So I'm doing pretty good for being tired, huh? Okay. So China just does whatever they want. So when you just do whatever you want, get away with whatever you want, because your daddy was friends with Mao Zedong, you kind of get used to, by habit, traveling wherever you want, going wherever you want, doing whatever you want without expecting reprisal for the bad things that you do, because they're not bad because you're doing them. So of course she went to Canada, and of course she was surprised. And then China turns around. What they're doing, they believe that Justin Trudeau is blowing smoke when he says that as the prime minister, he can't tell judges what to do. Because in China, they really do operate that way. There was one professor in Taiwan who tried to explain it, that Westerners want to negotiate before signing a contract. The Chinese want to negotiate after signing a contract. That's a nice way of saying that one of the two is a psychopath. That they don't believe, you know, statements and agreements are just lies. Like, really. This is a problem. You've had all these companies that have tried to do stuff with the Chinese. They've had those problems. And those American companies, this is the thing. This is one of the dirty secrets that are going to be coming out here. Those American companies that started manufacturing in China, they had warning signs. Their early experiences and their relationships with China were telling them that the Chinese couldn't be trusted, because that's the type of people that their culture cultivates. But they chose to do business with China anyway because they wanted to save a little bit of money. Or maybe because they also operate that way as owners and operators and executives of their companies. I'd be curious to see how that call gets sorted out. Huawei. Now, Trump. Trump's coming along. Sure. You know, I'd consider taking some action if China helped us on trade. That'd have to be an awful lot of help on trade for China, for Trump to make his. I mean, Trump supporters are not gonna want Trump to let that girl go. China would have to cancel all U.S. debt. They'd have to pay us to buy their products. Like, China would have to do so much in order for Trump's support base to allow him to send this girl back to China. No way. No way. I don't think it would happen. Rush Limbaugh calls it baiting, but I don't think that's what it is. You see, Trump comes in here, you know, but Belise Ford, you know, Trump, well, boy, she sounds convincing. I want to listen to what she has to say. And a few days later, so, you know, where was it? Oh, I don't remember. Well, I had one beer. That's what I remember. Well, okay. Well, when did it happen? I don't know. Well, who were you with? I can't remember. Well, what house was it in? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. How many people were there? I don't remember. You know, what any friends can tell you? No, I don't know. I don't know. And Trump's making fun of her later on after that whole, what, she sounds convincing. He does this with everybody. Now, Rush Limbaugh calls it baiting. He comes in like he's going to get along. And then later on, he doesn't get along. But it seems like he was in the beginning. Limbaugh calls it baiting so that people can recognize it. But just to be more technical than Limbaugh here, excuse me, pardon my French. What I think's actually going on is Trump is, he's communicating that he's cooperative. He's communicating when someone comes out and says, I want to do this, I want to do that, and it's really convincing, and a lot of people aren't sure what to think yet, and it's dangerous to say, oh, that person's wrong, even though Trump might know it because of inside information that we just don't have yet. Once we have the information, we will say, no, that can't be true, just like Trump will. But, okay. Early in those stages, Trump isn't trying to bait people. He's saying what should be the logical conclusion given the information available to the public at the time. He's proving that he's cooperative and willing to listen. I mean, Dianne Feinstein was sitting at his table, at his little meeting room table there. There's this long table the president meets in, and he has a chair at the center of it. And she said, well, we want to have this, and we want to have, I forget what it was. It was something important to Democrats. And Trump, well, Dianne, we can do that. And she, what? Yeah, we can do that. But here's the part about this. When Trump starts talking cooperatively like that, he doesn't mean that he wants to change his colors. He means if you give him what he wants, of course he'll give you what you're asking for. Sure, he really, really will work with you. He won't let you run him. He won't bow down and let you decide everything he does any more than you're going to let him tell you what you should do. But he really will work with you. That's what he's That's what he's trying to communicate. So when we've got this Huawei thing going on, I consider taking action. If we got some good trade deals from China, yes, he is objective. And whatever decision he makes will be based on a good objective decision. And he's communicating his objectivity with all that. Now, this Huawei thing could blow up, so to speak. I think what's going on is, you know, we've got this 90-day thing. And I think that in that, Trump's biding time, or maybe buying time. He's got stuff squared away with Russia, as I explained yesterday about Syria. And now I think Trump's just letting the system, system's taken a long time. Chief Justice John Roberts wasted no time approving some subpoena for some company that we're not sure how may be tied to Mueller or not. He wasted no time at all approving a subpoena. The court has to take more, the SCOTUS has to take more action to vote, but like, if it's a quick now, we need something like slap a bandaid on it, quick sort of thing. Like the Supreme, the Chief Justice can take like a temporary action until the court votes. And the court could vote very soon. So that's going through. Courts can work quickly if they want to. But I don't see anyone trying to make this process with this Huawei executive go any faster. I think what we're looking at here, this Huawei executive, she's a Chinese treasure. And of course, you know where to listen to more of what I have to say about this stuff. But I think Trump's going to be keeping her as a card in his pocket to irritate China to push them over the edge when the time is right. I want you to look at what's happened in Taiwan. China is really, really, really becoming a threat to what the United States would want. So, U.S. wants this, China wants that. This is not going to work out. And the U.S. is going to see this as there being a need to at least get these irresponsible people out of power in China. That's what I think is going on. And I think the U.S. has decided that they need to provoke China to a war so that they can get the bad guys out of China, so that China can rise with good guys at the helm or something like that. Kind of like Japan. Japan was the experiment and China's the real deal. Like, I wonder if that's going on maybe. Like, that's what it looks like. I mean, the war with Japan started as a trade war. It started as a trade war. It never really was a trade war. The goal was to get rid of an emperor that had aspirations of global domination. And they succeeded in doing that. And I think that there are certain minds in the Pentagon that think they can do it again. And so we're looking at a provocative thing where everything's going to all get set just right. And I want you to consider this. A lot of the local governments in Taiwan just elected this old establishment party that always loved to just surrender everything to China, like countries surrendered to Nazi Germany. They just surrender. And a lot of these local mayors, a lot of these local governments are going to go in thinking that if China attacks, that if they support China, that China will help them. A lot of them, I believe, really believe that in Taiwan. I'm not telling you what I think about this. I'm just telling you what I see. But Taiwan's central government, the United States federal government is a central government is what they call it. But it's not really central because it's multiple sovereign states. So we call it a federal government. But most countries, they wouldn't call it federal. They call it central. Maybe national, but central. Okay. Taiwan's central government, they're the opposite party. They are not kowtow and bow down to China. They're let's be friends with the United States party. Now, traditionally, the other party was always friendly with the United States. But nothing much was happening back then either. When it's time to show true colors, that old party chums up to China. So you got that old chum up to China party about to take office at local governments. And you've got that friendly United States support the people in Taiwan as its own country with its own government party controlling the central government. Well, that's a beautiful... If you're in the Pentagon and you're trying to start a war, I mean, I have no idea what's going on in the Pentagon. I have no clue. But I wasn't born yesterday, man. If I was in the Pentagon and it was my job to come up with a plan to provoke China, I'd be like, we've got a year and a half to do it. Maybe a year. We got to let these new guys, the local government in Taiwan, settle in. Let them get there. Let the dust settle. Let them arrange the furniture. Let them buy a couple swaths of groceries. Let them think that they know what's going on and are in charge of everything. Okay, and then hurry up and get China in there so China thinks that it could do it. Okay. But we still have U.S. agreement and cooperation with the central government in Taiwan. Okay. Hurry up and do this. How are we going to provoke China quickly? How are we going to do it? I'm not advocating this. I'm not in favor of this. I'm just telling you, if I was given that job and I was working somewhere, you know, with military stuff, I would be looking at this Huawei executive and I would be saying, this is a great last straw to irritate China and provoke them with Taiwan. So I'm going to be looking at other potentially provocative things taking place. But if you understand Asian shame culture, all you have to do is look at what the U.S. has been doing with this back and forth. Yeah, let's be friends. Oh, and by the way, you're the threat. China's a big, dangerous threat. We have to go watch them. So we're sending two sailors on a little tiny sailboat to go watch them. Like, that kind of stuff. Like, we didn't actually do that, but we've been doing stuff kind of like that. That kind of stuff just really is irritating them. And it's just year after year of this. You didn't move out of the way. We're sending two more little two-man sailboats next time. You know, like, and then, you know what? We might send our aircraft carrier right into your port. What do you think of that, huh? Oh, wait. Well, I don't know when we'll do it. We'll do it next month. And then next month comes. Oh, no, we'll do it next... Well, No, we'll do it tomorrow. And then they do it 3 days later. Like... That kind of stuff has been going on, and it's just been irritating the Chinese. U.S. has been doing everything that part. It's like I've been living with these Asians for 10 years. And when now a lot of the younger people, they try to not have this pride shame thing, but the older people are stuck in the same generational cultural baggage as mainland China. And what the U.S. is doing, if you were to do that on a personal level, on a social level, in the job place, with your family, with domestic decisions, with your business partner, if you were to do that stuff on a social, personal level, it would so irritate the people from that culture. All right. I think that's what's going on, and I think that Huawei is probably part of it, but I'm just guessing based on what I see and what I get and what I understand. I don't have any special information. I read the same newspapers you guys do. So there you have. You want a good Asian newspaper? South China Morning Post. I think it's semi-objective. It is under China's thumb, but it's obviously on a long leash. But they get a lot of news shows up there. South China Morning Post is a great newspaper, and their logo means "I want to communicate with you." I don't know if I'm going to air on January 1. I might do it. No, I don't know. I suppose. I might air on January 1 because I'm airing on Christmas, but I'm not recording Christmas. So I'm not going to record on January 1. Merry Christmas. Merry post-Christmas, and see you next year.